Before we start today's program, I want to invite you to join me for Open the Bible in a Day, a special online event on Saturday, October the 16th. We're going to travel through the whole Bible story in just 3 hours. In the Old Testament, we're going to meet 5 people. In the Gospels, we'll focus on 5 events in the life of Jesus. And in the New Testament letters, we'll discover 5 gifts that belong to every Christian believer. For more information and to sign up, visit us at unlockingthebible.org.
The Son of God is not on the cross today. The Son of God is not writhing in agony, longing for what is yet to be. He is risen, he is exalted, he is seated at the right hand of the Father. Jesus is the Son of God with power. He once was crucified in weakness, but now he lives by God's power.
Welcome to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, today we're really going to be drilling down on one of those central doctrines of Christianity, the fact that Jesus has been raised from the dead.
Yeah, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and all power and authority is his. Now, of course, we look at the world as it is, and we say, well, now the world's in a right old mess.
Yeah.
And indeed it is, but not because Jesus Christ lacks power. He, at the right hand of the Father, is waiting the day of his return. He is bringing about his own perfect purpose, gathering people to faith in himself. That's what he's doing at this time. He's gathering people out of the darkness into the light and preparing for the day when he'll return in glory and create that new heaven and that new earth. It's so good to know that the world is not adrift,
yeah,
but we have a living Savior who controls all things by the word of his power. And our hope isn't in the world getting better. Our hope is in his return.
Well, we're going to look at that in today's broadcast. If you can, join us in Romans chapter 1 as we continue the message, He Changed Death for You. Here is Pastor Colin.
So you know, folks, that over 2,000 years, the Lord Jesus Christ has been discussed, written about, debated, interpreted more than any other person who has ever lived. And in the resurrection, Almighty God steps in and he says, I am making a declaration. This is my Son. And folks, the declaration of God in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is for us. The angels already know, always have known, that he's the Son of God. The demons already know. They were the first to recognize, as you read the gospel story, that he is the Son of God. They saw it and they knew it long before other people did. God is speaking to you in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he is saying to you, now this is my Son. He is unlike any other person who has ever lived. He doesn't fit the category of simply a great teacher or an example or whatever. Great teachers and great examples do not rise from the dead. No, God says, this is my Son. So hear him and trust him and believe him and love him and worship him and follow him and serve him and give your life to him, because there's no one else like him. The resurrection declares what was already true, will always be true. Jesus is the Son of God. It's God's declaration to us today. Have you ever said, well, I wonder if God would ever speak to me? He speaks to you in the resurrection of Jesus. Now, that's the first thing. Here's the second. The resurrection declares what was already true, that is, Jesus is God's Son. But secondly, the resurrection reveals what was previously hidden, that is, that Jesus is the Son of God with power. Now, if you have your Bible open, as I hope you do, I want to show you that there are 2 ways to read and understand what Paul is saying here in this verse. If you have the NIV, which is the edition of the Bible that is in the pew also, you will see that the wording the NIV has there is that he was declared with power to be the Son of God. That would mean, of course, that the resurrection is a powerful statement that Jesus is the Son of God, which it certainly is. Could hardly be a more powerful statement that Jesus is the Son of God. But I want you to notice, if you have very good eyes and also have an NIV, you will see that there is also a footnote there that reflects the order of the words in the original language in which Paul wrote. which is that he was declared to be the Son of God with power. That's the order in which the words were originally written in the Greek, and I think that that is how we should understand what Paul says here. That Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power by his resurrection from the dead. In other words, Paul is saying exactly the same thing as he says later in 2 Corinthians in chapter 13, where Paul says that Jesus was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by God's power. Crucified in weakness, but he lives in God's power. And here he puts it another way, Romans 1:4, he is declared to be the Son of God with power by his resurrection from the dead. Now, Jesus has always been the Son of God. Power is always his. But when you look at his earthly life, what you see is the Son of God embracing our weakness. Look at him in the manger, the Son of God. But he needs to be fed and clothed by his mother. Look at him in the wilderness, the Son of God. But he's hungry and he's tempted, and angels come to minister to him. See, through the earthly life of the Lord Jesus, as we sometimes sing at Christmas, his glory was veiled in flesh. People did not look at Jesus and immediately say, "Oh, there's God in the flesh." No, they didn't say that. What did they say? They said, "Is this not the carpenter's son? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? He saved others, but he can't save himself." The glory of the Son of God was hidden. It was veiled throughout most of his earthly life. So that even when you come to the miracles, they are seen mostly by relatively few people. And often where Jesus heals someone by his divine power, he says to them, "Now don't tell anybody," because his time had not yet come. Even among the disciples, those closest to him, it was 3 years before Peter came to the place of being able to say, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Before that, what were they saying? They're saying things like, who is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? And strung up on the cross, writhing in agony and forsaken by the Father, Jesus could hardly have looked less like the Son of God with power. But now he rises from the dead. No longer the Son of God in weakness, no longer his glory veiled. He is declared, Paul says, to be the Son of God with power through his resurrection from the dead. In other words, the resurrection reveals what was previously hidden. Jesus is the Son of God with power. He once was crucified in weakness, but now he lives by God's power. The Son of God is not on the cross today. The Son of God is not writhing in agony, longing for what is yet to be today. He is risen. He is exalted. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And what is he doing? By his divine power, he is saving sinners. He is sustaining his saints. He is building his church. He is pouring out the gifts of his Holy Spirit. One hymn writer puts it this way: "Christian, look, the sight is glorious. See the man of sorrows now. From the fight he's returned victorious, and every knee to him will bow." I want you to see on this Easter day, not only that Jesus is the Son of God, but that Jesus is the Son of God with power. And that is revealed through the resurrection. And here's why that is so important. Folks, some of us have only ever experienced a powerless religion. It's been about traditions. It's been about rituals. It's been about disciplines. It's been about things that you do, but you have not yet found or experienced anything that really changes your life. You've experienced religion without power. And the resurrection reveals what may have been hidden to you. That when we're talking about the Son of God risen from the dead, we're not talking about a season of the year. We're not talking about traditions and rituals. We're talking about the Son of God who is able to break the power of addictions, the Son of God who can soften and change a hard heart, tame a bitter and vitriolic tongue, the Son of God who is able to give you peace with God, to cleanse you of every sin, including your unbelief and your resistance over the years towards Him, the Son of God who's able to sustain you in your darkest hour, the Son of God who's able to give you a new heart that loves God and that loves other people, the Son of God who is able to bring you into His immediate presence. Listen, there is hope for you in Jesus Christ. Because He is the Son of God with power, a risen, living Christ, who is able to touch and change the lives of all who will come to Him. That is why the Son of God, risen from the dead, is good news for us. He's God's Son. He's God's Son with power.
You're listening to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called He Changed Death for You. And if you joined us late, have to leave early, or you ever want to go back and listen to a message again, you can always do that at our website. Just come to unlockingthebible.org. That's unlockingthebible.org. All right, let's get back to the message. Here is Pastor Colin.
The resurrection declares what was always true, that Jesus is the Son of God. The resurrection reveals what was previously hidden, the Son of God with power. And here's the last thing. The resurrection begins what was long promised. Now, I put up on the screen and want to read for you a literal translation of the precise words that Paul uses here in Romans and chapter 1 and verse 4. Literally translated, word for word, it goes like this. He was declared to be the Son of God with power by a resurrection of dead persons. That's word for word, literally translated from the Greek words written by the Apostle Paul. And let me, by way of explanation, quote to you from a distinguished scholar, Leon Morris, who explains the significance of these words in this way. He says, it is Jesus' own resurrection of which Paul is writing. So be absolutely clear, he's writing about the resurrection of Jesus. But, says Morris, we should not overlook the fact that he chooses to do this in a way more commonly used to denote the general resurrection. The resurrection of Christ and the resurrection of the dead are not two totally different things. For Paul, the resurrection of Christ is the beginning of the resurrection of the dead. Now, that's the important point here. He writes about the resurrection of Jesus, but very deliberately does it in such a way as to indicate that this is not an isolated event, but that the resurrection of Jesus is the beginning of the resurrection of the dead. That is why the resurrection of Jesus that happened 2,000 years ago is good news for us today. The resurrection of Jesus is the first resurrection of many that will follow, which is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that Christ is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. He rises, and others who belong to him in their turn will rise also. That's why Jesus said to the disciples, because I live, you shall live also. That's why he says in John in chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. But he who believes in me, even though he die, yet shall he live. In other words, the full glory of the Son of God, the full demonstration of his almighty power, will be seen not only in his resurrection, but also in yours, in the gathering of a vast company of people who belong to Jesus Christ, who share in the resurrection that was begun on that Easter day. That's why it's good news for you, for me. See, the Bible speaks so clearly about the purpose for which Jesus came into the world, the purpose for which he died, and the purpose for which he rose and ascended. What was that? Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10 puts it this way. It was to bring many sons to glory. Love this picture of the family. To bring many sons to glory. And in order to bring many sons to glory, it says in Hebrews 2:10, it was fitting that the author of their salvation, Jesus, should be made perfect through suffering, because both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy, they're of the same family. You notice the language here, sons, family. Continuing, the writer to Hebrews says, Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers. And again, he says, here am I and the children that God has given me. You see the picture? What's the Lord Jesus' purpose in coming into this world? Dying on the cross, rising from the dead. It's not simply about himself. It's to bring many sons to glory. A family. Children. Brothers. Sisters. A vast community of people who belong to Jesus Christ by faith, and they're drawn from every tribe and every language and every nation and every culture and every background. The Son of God became a man. He went through the agonies of death on a cross. He rose from the dead. Why? To bring many sons to glory, so that by his resurrection, the resurrection of his people would be begun. So that not only would we be with him, but the Bible says that when we're brought to be with him, we shall actually be like him. We shall be conformed to his image, so that he will be the firstborn among many brothers. That's Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. It was for us. So folks, here's the great truth of the gospel. Think of it in its great sweep. Here we are in this fallen world, so full of God's goodness and yet so plagued by the scourge of human sin and death. And no man overcomes sin and no man overcomes death. Sin reigned, death reigned. Sin and death have become so wrapped up in what it means to be human that for us it's almost impossible to imagine being human without them. I mean, can you imagine yourself living forever? Can you? We're so tied up with what it means to die that we can't really even imagine what it means to live forever, because to be human is to die, isn't it? Can you imagine yourself in perfect, resplendent holiness? Can you imagine that yourself? See, we're so wrapped up in sin that we can hardly imagine ourselves in the perfection of pure holiness. So the Son of God becomes a man. And he enters our helplessness and he enters our defeat, and he does what no other human being has ever done. He lives a sinless life. And then he offers what no other man could ever offer. He lays down that sinless life as a sacrifice for the sins of others. And then he goes where no other man could go, through death and into the presence of the Father, so that today he is exalted at the right hand of the Father in heaven. What that means, the good news of God's Son, is that there is a man without sin, and there is a man who has conquered death. And there is a man in heaven, and he's there for us in order to bring many sons, a whole family, his people from every tribe and language and nation, into his presence and into his likeness to share his life forever and ever. And that is why, folks, at the end of the Bible, what you find is this great vision that was given to John of this vast multitude of people. And they are drawn from every kind of background in the world, and they are singing the praise of Jesus, the Son of God, and they're saying, you are worthy. You're worthy because with your blood, you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made us to be a kingdom. You have made us to be priests to serve our God. So worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. So here's what the resurrection is telling us. God is speaking to you and he is saying, Jesus is my son. And he's the son of God with power. He's able to touch and to change not only your life now, but your eternity. The one of infinite capacity who took our nature and lived that sinless life and died that sacrificial death and rose in that triumphant resurrection and is at the right hand of the Father lives, gathering a family of people who follow and trust him. And he lives to bring us to glory so that his resurrection would not be an isolated event, but the beginning of the resurrection in which all his people will one day share. Listen, why shouldn't you be part of this family? The Son of God has come, died and risen and lives to gather a family of people who trust in him and belong to him and love him and serve him. Why should you not become part of that family? I invite you on this Easter day to believe what God says to you, to rejoice in what Christ has done for you, and to lay hold of what this Savior offers you.
What a powerful way to wrap up this series, Good News About God's Son. You know, if you know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, I hope you've been encouraged by this series and Pastor Collins' teaching. But if you don't know Jesus, maybe you've been thinking about what it would mean for you to believe what God says to you, to rejoice in what God has done for you, and then to lay hold of what Christ offers to you. If you want to talk to a pastor about what it means to begin a relationship with Jesus, then I want to encourage you to contact us here at Unlocking the Bible. You can do so through our website, unlockingthebible.org, or give us a call. Talk to a pastor on staff. Our toll-free number is 1-866-UNLOCKED. That's 866-865-6253. Unlocking the Bible is a listener-supported program. If you're a regular listener, you know that. But we want to give you a thank you gift as you support the ministry this month. It's a book from J.I. Packer. It's called Knowing God. And Colin, who do you say that this book is written for?
Well, I suppose the most obvious answer is for anyone who wants to know God. But I would say more particularly for anyone who wants to grow in their faith. Because what this book does very wonderfully is takes you into the wonder and the glory of who God actually is. And so it's a wonderfully faith-building book. You know, I'm working at the moment on the story of the man who was born blind and was wonderfully healed by Jesus and very famously said, "One thing I know, once I was blind, but now I see." Yeah. It's a marvelous statement, and I've heard that praised so many times. You know, here's a statement of personal testimony. I once was blind and now I see. That's great when you're a young Christian. But if that's the only thing you know after you've been a believer for 10 years, something's wrong. You're supposed to be growing in your knowledge of who God is. And so if you want to grow in the knowledge of God, then frankly, J.I. Packer's book is one of the best resources. I have found it so useful. I go back to it again and again and again. Don't try and read it all at once. I read it 3 or 4 pages at a time because it's like eating a good steak. I mean, there's a limit to how much you can take because it's so rich.
Yeah.
But that's the value of it. So getting books that are of real lasting value and of substance into your hands is one of the best things I think that we Unlocking the Bible can do to encourage you to grow in your faith. And if you don't have, and if you haven't read J.I. Packer's Knowing God, then we'd be delighted to send you a copy. I think it'll do you all kinds of good.
Well, we would, like Pastor Colin just said, love to send you a copy as you give a financial gift of any amount this month. You can give by calling us at 1-866-UNLOCKED. Or you can do that through our website, unlockingthebible.org. Again, the phone number is 1-866-865-6253. Or again, the website, unlockingthebible.org. Well, thanks for listening today, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Unlocking the Bible. You like to debate worship styles with your friends. Find out why this will lead you nowhere next time on Unlocking the Bible.